as independent as anything ever could be in the 90s. And that's something that sadly all grandpa Gen Xers now are screaming at clouds, right? Trying to explain to kids that their dreams should include a little bit.
Hi, this is John Hall. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 Acre.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today, we will hear listener mail, feedback from listeners about what they think of WGXC and community radio in the Upper Hudson Valley. You can give WGXC feedback anytime you want by calling 518-291-WGXC and leaving a 3-minute message about anything you want. You can tell us the good stuff, the bad stuff, what you'd like us to do, what you wish we didn't do. Again, that number is 518-291-9492. You can also email comments to feedback at wgxc.org. So we'll hear from some listeners today after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is Rob Sapper, host of Overlooked, WGXC's excursion into underheard and overlooked music. Overlooked is now on fourth Tuesday of each month from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Each show is themed, connecting disparate types of music in new and uncharted ways. That's Overlooked, 12 to 2 on Tuesdays.
The raucous music of the Berlin Sound Painting Orchestra bends genres, and we'll hear an example of what happens when they erupt on the next Deep Threes. Plus tracks from Woven Skull, Amanda Fury, and Alluvium. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Greenville Drive-In 32, a destination for movies and music under the stars of the Northern Catskills since 1959. Seasonal programming information at drivein32.com or 518-966-2177.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Stephanie Fleischman of Columbiaville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC. Grabbable, handleable, listener-fueled radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Andrea Manko at Porcupine Soup that the town of Cairo board voted December 15th not to allow cannabis sales or lounges. The vote was 3-2, with outgoing supervisor John Coyne and councilpersons Tim Powers and Mary Jo Cords voting against cannabis sales, and councilperson Stephen Karlovich and supervisor-elect Jason Watts voting to allow sales. A standing-room-only crowd wanted a different decision. Resident Barbara Spoller said, and I quote, "You are our elected officials. You were elected by the people. The people sitting in this room now are clearly telling you they don't want to opt out. As our elected officials, you need to strongly consider what the people in this room who elected you are saying," end quote. Many residents were mad about the tax dollars Cairo was turning away. Sherry B. True, county legislator-elect, said, and I quote, "Great Barrington, within 3 years, I believe, they brought in about $6 million. The town ended up with like $1 million," end quote. New York legalized cannabis in April, and towns and villages have until December 31st to opt out of retail sales and or consumption lounges. Retail sales are not expected to begin until 2023 as regulations are put in place. Coyne said he voted against because all those regulations are not yet set up, while Watts claimed she was listening to the crowd. Watts said, and I quote, 95% said they were for it or they didn't have an opinion. I'm just afraid if we opt out, businesses are going to skip right over us, end quote. Read more about this story at Porcupine Soup. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics. The New York Attorney General's office doubts whether the state can take back money former Governor Andrew Cuomo made while writing a book in office. Attorney General Counsel Larry Schimmel wrote to the Joint Commission on Public Ethics, and I quote, there does not appear to be the statutory authority to order payment directly to the Attorney General or for the Attorney General to determine the receipts of such payments, end quote. Jacob wants to recoup about $5 million because a state assembly report found Cuomo used substantial state resources to write the book. Schimmel also wrote that the Ethics Commission requires a substantial basis investigation report before referring recovery matters to the Attorney General and that agencies must show they have exhausted, and I quote, its own collection activity, end quote, before turning it over to the Attorney General's Civil Recovery Unit. Cuomo's lawyers are elated. Cuomo's attorney Jim McGuire said, and I quote, Jacob's action violated fundamental constitutional rights and flagrantly exceeded its statutory authority. It's not at all surprising that the lawlessness of Jacob's latest unlawful action is being recognized as just that. We remain ready to vindicate the governor before a politically neutral body, our courts, end quote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Coley Callahan reports in the Times Union that four Dutchess County men were arrested for first-degree robbery as a hate crime for targeting the race of their victim. The four men from Dover, Joshua A. Benson, age 40, and Joshua A. Benson, Jr., age 23. The other two men arrested are Nicholas L. Gast, age 34, and Darius L. Robinson, age 19, were arrested for the December 6th incident. The robbers allegedly took jewelry and one with a handgun fired a single shot. No one was seriously injured. If convicted, the four face a maximum sentence of 25 years in prison. Darius Robinson and Joshua Benson Jr. were jailed with a $50,000 cash bail, $100,000 secure bond, or $200,000 partially secure bond, while Nicholas Gask and Joshua Benson were jailed without bail. Read more about this story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
New York City made history last week when the City Council passed a law giving non-citizens with legal permanent resident status the right to vote in local elections. But the fight continues for all New Yorkers to have their voices heard in the redistricting process. As the State Independent Redistricting Commission makes second draft maps, Anu Joshi with New York Immigration Coalition says her group's goal is to ensure immigrants and people of color have a fair opportunity to elect leaders that represent their identities and interests.
The goal of redistricting should be to ensure that communities have a say in who represents them and that their voices aren't diluted.
In September, the coalition and other groups criticized the Redistricting Commission for releasing two sets of maps instead of one. The next set of congressional, assembly, and state senate maps will be delivered by January 3rd, and advocates are pushing for the public input from hearings to weigh heavily in the process. Asher Ross with the sister group NYIC Action says hundreds of people showed up at the 24 public hearings held through the summer and fall. He says NYIC worked to make the meetings more accessible for New Yorkers who speak languages other than English.
Our coalition worked directly with the commission to arrange translation into numerous languages at the hearings. We were able to get groups submitting their own maps, submitting written testimony, and we felt like in the end it was a fairly robust process.
Brooklyn neighborhoods like Bay Ridge and Sunset Park are among the areas the public has pushed to keep together. Ross says this is critical to preserve the power of these communities.
We need a state government that reflects that diversity. One of the reasons we haven't had that is because of gerrymandering and the way that our redistricting process gets manipulated.
Once the commission delivers the second draft maps, they'll be reviewed by the state legislature. I'm Michaela Savitt for New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, snow and sleet before 3 p.m., then rain and sleet between 3 p.m. and 4 p.m., then rain after 4 p.m. The temperature high will be 34 degrees. There will be rain before 10 p.m. on Saturday night, then rain and sleet between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m., then snow is likely after that, with a temperature low of around 27 degrees. And on Sunday, a chance of snow before 7 a.m., mostly sunny with a high near 34 degrees, and Sunday night mostly clear with a low of around 17 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Adelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC. Hands-on, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
That was John Zorn and legendary drummer Susie Ibarra with an untitled song performed at the Vision Festival in 1997 in New York City. It's released on an On Fidelity recording. Thank you. Next, we hear a song inspired by Radio Alice, one of the Italian free radio stations, or one might call pirate radio stations, that flourished in Italy in the 1970s when there was little oversight from the government. The radio stations lived in harmony and sort of worked together and did not interfere with each other. And Radio Alice was especially known for its programming that drew inspiration from the Situationists and Dada and has been described as, quote, a mix between a classical medium of militant information and a sort of art experiment in media sabotage, unquote. In 1988, the San Francisco band The Catheads released an album called Submarine with a song called Alice on the Radio. It included bass player Alan Korn, who later became a broadcast lawyer and worked with WGXC to get our FCC broadcast license. He wrote about Radio Alice in this song called Alice on the Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. That was Alice Coltrane with Pharoah Sanders with Journey in Sacedonia. That was Quintron and Miss Pussycat with two holiday songs, Jingle Bell Rock and Silent Night.
This is from the 2010 album recorded in Troy at RPI. This is The Decisive Moment from Scanner, Matthew Shipp, and the Postmodern Jazz Quartet from the album Blink of an Eye. We'll be right back. from the 2021 album Dissension, Out of Our Constrictions. That was Joshua Abrams and the Natural Information Society with guest Evan Parker, and the first part of that long-form record.